In contrast, Philip only reports about this Franzi as a missionary spirit. Joseph, yes. Weren't the angels a little further away? Joseph, the angels were the two. But it's like this, in such a case, it's good that a close relative makes the first contact. As the parents of this spirit were still alive, they sent him this friend who could fulfill this task. You must also always remember that the relatives you have are not all on the same level, so that some may come to greet the person, but cannot be put in the service of the person who has returned home, and therefore are unable to help him. If someone who has returned home is greeted, that does not help him. In such a case, you have to be able to show a soul the way. And trust and faith are established much more quickly when someone you knew is there, be it a friend or a relative. Dear Joseph, can you perhaps say what the reason might be when someone dies in life through an accident or a long illness? Or is that not so important? Joseph, yes, I would have to explain that in detail. So far as it is not so important, not particularly important. The lifespan of the person concerned is, as we emphasize, marked and determined in his spiritual field, and it will then unfold accordingly, regardless of whether death occurs in this or that way. But it is a certain advantage for people if they are prepared, through illness, for example. Joseph, yes. Because through long illness, many people find their way to God and therefore have an easy time in the world beyond. They are then not such strangers, having found a connection to the divine world during their lifetime, whereas someone who is suddenly torn from life does not necessarily have a real, inner connection to God. On the other hand, however, he does not have to be a bad person, and in God's goodness he is given the opportunity to fulfill his tasks again in the spiritual world, or they will be given to him again in his next life on earth. Dear Joseph, one more question. Can it not happen that with such victims, who are strongly connected to their numerous relatives, it takes a long time until the missionary spirit can guide them into the spiritual world and lead them on the way to their new existence? Joseph, yes, that does happen. Brothers and sisters also come to us who die a sudden death and who are not accepted in this way. Spirits do come to them. But that they would now receive such treatment as in this case described does not necessarily happen to everyone. Someone who is very low must also go through the worries. You also know from explanations that those who have gone home always feel withdrawn, and especially through the grief of their friends. They are drawn back to their place on earth after their death. So you should never generalize and say that it is the same everywhere. It all depends on the development that the person concerned has achieved and where he is placed, and what kind of life he has lived. It is perhaps worth mentioning that this spirit Philip looked after his parents. He was given great credit in the spiritual world for looking after his old parents. It is not a matter of course that someone who returns is looked after in this way. There are spirits who look after them, but you can do this with a very special love and care. Or you can do it simply out of duty, it all depends. It is also something special when an angel of God prays with someone who has returned home and is being laid down to sleep. Others are simply shown to these beds where they are supposed to sleep. You wake them up, you don't make a big fuss, they don't deserve it either, their soul, their feelings aren't so finely formed that they can take it in and understand it. Now, I'm going back again. And I wish God's blessing on you too, that he will protect and preserve you. Greetings. Report of the Ascending Spirit Philip and answers to questions from Spirit Teacher Joseph by Mediator Beatrice Brunner in the Hall on Mar 1 Quarten Kaldenstrasse, Zurich. Original, tape recording. Next case. October 2, 1963, Madeline, how a loveless orphanage director fared in the afterlife. Multi-stage path through loneliness, communal living with many siblings and hard physical work in spiritual gardens and forests. Control Spirit, greetings. Dear brothers and sisters, a spirit sister is speaking to you by the name of Madeline. May God's blessing come upon you all and strengthen you for this hour and for your whole life. Greetings. Madeline, greetings. My dear brothers and sisters, I am telling you about my entry into the spiritual realm and also what I have done in life. I was the headmistress of an orphanage or children's home. When I entered the spiritual world, people were not happy with me. They told me that I had been much too hard on these children. I had not given them a love and had done nothing to please their souls and show them the way to true love. I believed that I had fulfilled my task correctly, because I believed that a certain degree of strictness should be part of education. But people did not agree with my opinion. Then they told me that I was now being led into purification and that only after this purification would I be allowed to work. I would now, so to speak, experience the spiritual world. They did not want to give me any more information about the future life. I was also somewhat surprised that life should continue in this form, because I had lived as a pious person and believed that my prayers, which I had said not only alone but also with the children, had pleased God. But this did not seem to be the case. I was told that I was a poor soul and that I would now have to look after some wealth in the world beyond. I had not amassed any in life, and now I would be given the opportunity to at least achieve something. I was led to a place where there were many small houses. I would almost compare them to the garden houses you have today. I came into a great expanse, and here these small houses stood isolated. They were far apart. I could not count them, there were so many. It was a flat land, you could see far and wide, and everywhere I looked there were little houses like that. But I had the feeling that it was a dead city, because I couldn't hear anything. I was then shown to one of these little houses. It was distinguished by its porch. This stood on a few pillars, so to speak, and you could enter it from all sides. Only then did you get into the house. It was still closed, and they opened it for me. It really was just a tiny little house. There was a bench in it and two windows. Through them you could look out over these expanses. I was told that I was not allowed to leave this little house or go into this vestibule. I was only allowed to do this if I was called. In this vestibule, which you could enter from all sides, there were places to sit. But I was told that I was not allowed to take my place there, but had to stay in the little house. As I walked around accompanied by some angels, my mother and father were also walking behind me, but I did not get to talk to them. I was able to look at many of these little houses. I did not see anyone sitting or standing in this anteroom, and it all seemed like a dead city to me. But then they explained to me again that I was only allowed to step out into this anteroom if I was called. Otherwise I would now have the opportunity to think about the life I had lived and to pray with my own strength, to come closer to God through prayer. On the one hand I consoled myself, because I had the feeling that I was not alone. But I did not come into contact with anyone. But I knew that everywhere in all these scattered houses there were spirit beings, those who had returned from the earthly realm and who now had to live in exile or in purification. So I then thought about the life I had lived and of course I regretted many things. Because as a human being I had no idea what was waiting for me, otherwise I would have organized my life differently, I would have treated the children differently. But now I deserved it so much and I was supposed to stay in this little house. I prayed, but also kept looking out of the window here and there to see if someone might come. And so it was. You could occasionally see higher beings paying visits here and there, but it was too far away for our eyes to be able to observe anything closer. But then I was certain that what I had been told was true, that they would come and take you out of this house and then talk to you or perhaps give you new tasks or instructions. So I had to wait and I prayed. I always hoped that someone would knock on my door, that they would ask me to come out. I couldn't even find out how long I had been in this solitude, I didn't have time. So I became afraid of always being so isolated and alone. And so I couldn't do anything else but pray. But I didn't always have the strength to pray. I could sleep too, but I couldn't find a peaceful sleep, I kept waking up, I was simply restless, I wasn't happy. And so I just had to wait. But the moment came when someone came in and asked me to come out. They would talk to me now. There I stood facing three angels and they told me that I had to be patient a little longer, but that I shouldn't let up in prayer and trust in God. I could then leave this place and someone would then assign me a job. I wanted to know when, but they explained to me that they couldn't give me a time for it, because there wouldn't be any time for me. I couldn't count days or nights, there was no such thing, but I lived constantly in the same twilight. It was never completely light, but also never completely dark. And so I tried again to keep praying. What these angels told me was truly a comfort to me, because I believed them when they said they would come and get me, for from my house I had a view and could see them coming now and then, and I could also see that some were being led away. I could not estimate how long it would be until they came back, but I longed endlessly to be freed from this house. When they came, they explained to me that they would now leave with me and that they would assume that I had thought thoroughly about the life I had lived and had also recognized something of what real Christian love was. So they fled with me from this dead city. My path continued. I felt, on the same level, I did not have the impression of being elevated, of coming to a better city or a better place. The surroundings always remained the same, everything was so empty, so sober, and the same dim atmosphere still prevailed. Suddenly we were standing in front of a large building. I was now to live here with other siblings, so I was told. I would now have the opportunity to find my way around with them. And this was not so easy. Because there were some who behaved disgustingly, so to speak, and you had to live next to them, you sat very close to them, you lay next to them. Actually, I thought back to the little house with regret, it had given me peace. But now, all of a sudden, a great deal of activity had come over me. There was a lot of talking, a lot of stories. Many told you about their fate in life, what they had been through. It was nothing other than complaining, so to speak. Everyone only had something to complain about, how their life had gone and that they had not been understood. Many also realized that they could have organized their lives differently, that they could have done more for the kingdom of God. But this insight came far too late. So you had to make friends with all of them, and that took effort. Because while you had been alone for so long before, you were now suddenly exposed to the many peculiarities of young people, exposed to each individual. Now, in the community, one should tolerate one another, accept one another's fate, one should now show understanding for one another, although one was actually still very uneasy oneself. It was, as I saw it, a difficult test to be together with so many people. But one did not have to live with them all the time, and on the one hand, this was a blessing, one had to work. My work was in the gardens and in the forest. I would have preferred to do better, more beautiful work in these gardens than the work I had to do. I did not particularly like the work, I found it strenuous for me. So one time I had to work in the forest, another time in the gardens. In the gardens, it was about creating new beds. Rearranging them. We had very beautiful stones for this, which we had to carry around. I found it a burden to carry these stones around and arrange them the way we were told. The angels who were in charge of us and supervised the work always said, "The stone is not heavy, only your burden in your soul is heavy. When you have laid down this burden, the stone is as light as a feather," and they always demonstrated it to us. They carried the largest stones around as if they were a light ball. But for us and for me it was not like that. The stones that I had to carry around were, in my opinion, heavy. I always had the feeling that there was something of earthly matter around these stones. Even though we were told that these stones were purely spiritual and attuned to us and not difficult for us to lift, I still had trouble. I had the feeling that they became so heavy through my thinking. Through my connection to the earthly world and through the burdens that were in my soul. All of this had made these stones so heavy, and we were told that over time it would become easier for us. So at first I had a lot of trouble doing this work. But I did it, I was given it and I accepted it as a penance. I had to and wanted to make up for what I had missed in life. The work was not only difficult for me, but for others too. Because the burden in their souls was no less than mine. Similar work had to be done in the forest too. Paths had to be marked out, loosened up, we were always told what to do. At first I also thought a lot about why one has to work in this divine world, in the kingdom of God. As a human being I had imagined, if there really is life after death, then it can only be a beautiful life if one has lived in faith in Jesus Christ. The fact that one had to work disappointed me at first. But we were all soon taught what inactivity would bring about in the ascending spirits and in spirits in general. They would all work, right up to the highest levels, but the higher you climb, the more beautiful and gratifying the work becomes. So we were real workers and laborers in the true sense of the word. We did hard work and so we were always happy to be able to return to the house and have a little rest. But there was no real rest, because there was far too much talk. So many were always hoping and waiting to be released from the house. The news was on everyone's lips that we were just poor souls, we had nothing, we were just poor souls and so we were dependent on the grace and love of the higher world and had to wait until higher spirits bent down to us. But now we also heard that a festival would soon be celebrated and that we could take part in this festival too. It was then explained to us that we could only see a group of high angels who would now descend from the high heavens and also pass through our sphere. We were then also told that and where we should go. We were told that it would be something wonderful, joyful and gratifying to be able to see these high spirits of heaven in their splendor and beauty even from afar. They would not only pass by us, but would go much, much further to the even poorer souls. We should then be ready, we would be alerted early, and we could then also stop our work. And so this call came through our house that we should get ready. We were shown the place where we could go, of course always accompanied by our leading brothers and sisters. And so we all stormed out of this house full of joy, hoping that we might not have to enter it again and that we would be able to make contact with a higher being who would allow us to go further up or to live in a nicer place. We all hoped, and so everyone spoke of it, I will try to get to the front rows, and I will grab one of them by his coat and stop him, and I will ask him on my knees to take care of me. So everyone had something to say in some way. Everyone wanted to be at the front, because everyone hoped for something from these higher beings, who were praised to us as loving brothers and sisters, while those who had to do with us were strict, although they too were filled with love. And so we all hoped, and I hoped too. When we then set off together with our leading, higher brothers and sisters, we saw others coming from other directions, and they came singing and cheering, while we were actually just shouting and had a lot to say. Of course we also expressed our joy, but we didn't sing together. Now we were getting closer and closer to them, and we were very curious to see what they looked like and where they came from. We knew that there were many brothers and sisters in our area, but we didn't know anything more about them. And when we got close to them, we saw that they had dressed up for the festival. They were all dressed up in what we call Sunday clothes. Some of them were holding a few flowers in their hands, a small bouquet, beautiful flowers. I couldn't remember having seen flowers around me, but there were some who had flowers. Some had a ribbon slung down from their shoulders, and there were various symbols on these ribbons. These brothers and sisters were also dressed up in Sunday clothes. Others caught my eye, they had silver rings around their heads, simple rings, others had rings decorated with stones. There were some very, very nicely dressed brothers and sisters. We were able to talk to them and we also asked them where they came from. And they told us about their beautiful city and their beautiful life. But I immediately had the feeling that they felt sorry for me and everyone else, because they saw our poverty. We had nothing, not a single flower, not a single silver ring adorned the head of a brother, nothing was to be seen. We tried to sit in the front rows anyway. But we were turned away again by those who had to keep order. They explained to us, "You have to sit right at the back." We said that then we wouldn't be able to see anything. And they answered, "That's not our fault, you are to blame for it yourself." "Yes, we would like to come to the front too, we would like to ask, beg for mercy." But they then told us that it was the case that a lot was given to those who had given a lot in human life and had a good heart and that they would see a lot. Here in this world, judgments were made differently than on earth. These law enforcers were very strict, or were becoming stricter, because there were always people trying to get to the front, but they were all sent back to the back. And those who were dressed the best were allowed to be in the front rows. They had it good, they could see everything. They had flowers, and they could throw these flowers to the distinguished guests, or at least that was how I felt. Then I shyly stepped back and thought, I want to assume and hope that this will not be the only time that I am called to such a celebration. And maybe one day I will earn enough, in a spiritual sense, that I too can stand at the front. And so I went quietly to the back, and others with me too. Now one of these brothers and sisters, holding a bouquet of flowers in her hands, walked through the rows and I looked at her flowers a little wistfully. Then this sister said to me, "Do you want some of my flowers? Should I give you some?" I couldn't resist and said, "I would love to have at least one of your beautiful flowers." Then this spirit sister plucked three beautiful flowers out for me. And so I had the feeling that I now had a beautiful bouquet and tried to go to the front again. Because I thought to myself, if a good, rich spirit gives me flowers, then I definitely deserve them, so I'll try to go a little to the front. And I held my flowers in my hands to show that I wasn't completely poor. But now I was seen wanting to stand at the front. Then a spiritual leader came to me and said, "Sister, you don't belong at the front, even if you were given these flowers. Because look, these flowers don't fit you at all, not to you. Look at your clothes, how poor you look. And here it is like this, here, external wealth is acquired with good deeds, with virtues, external and internal wealth is only paid for with virtue. But you still have nothing in your account." Yes, I was ashamed, I had nothing. Then I asked him, "Should I give these flowers back if they don't suit me?" "No," he said, "you can keep them now, but remember the words I told you, wealth and possessions are acquired here only with virtue, only with love, only with obedience." Yes, I knew that, but I also knew that it was still a long way for me to acquire even a small possession, even if it was just a simple, decent garment. Then I put my flowers under my belt and sat down at the back again. And nobody paid any attention to my flowers anymore, and so I stayed. We couldn't really see anything. We only heard the cheering, the singing, the rejoicing. But the others who were next to me said, "Don't be so unhappy, we can be happy that we were at least there. Next time we'll be at the front too." I was sad, really sad, that I hadn't seen anything. But then I was cheered up by people like me who had been in this community center for much longer and had been doing hard work and carrying heavy loads for much longer. They cheered me up and said, "You shouldn't lose heart. You know, we don't deserve to experience more yet. But at least we hear the cheering, and that alone makes us happy." And then they went away, cheering. And so I thought to myself, I would like to rejoice too. But I couldn't, I was so sad. Actually about myself, because I really hadn't acquired any spiritual wealth in my life. I had had the best opportunity to do so. It couldn't be changed. These high guests, these high angels, now passed us through these streets, but we couldn't see any of them. Then everyone who had come together here went their separate ways, those adorned with flowers and those adorned went back to their sphere, to their country, and we went back to our country. I then just asked, why did they come to us at all, who are so beautifully dressed and who are actually no longer poor souls? Why didn't the high spirit beings come through with them alone? And why didn't they clear the way for us alone here? Then a spirit of God intervened in the conversation and said, it's like this, the higher ones descend. They come to you, and you can see how wonderful they look, what they have acquired. All of them who were adorned and so beautiful have acquired all these things through obedience, through work, through bravery, through loyalty, through devotion, through helpfulness. They all of them, have earned it. And so the way is clear for you to earn this too. The others have, so to speak, given you witness to it. And this Spirit of God, who was a leading brother in our community house, also told us that a festival would be celebrated again very soon. We should look forward to it, because we would be allowed to go again. We should never become discouraged, because it just doesn't go that quickly. One cannot acquire these spiritual riches that quickly. So we lived in the hope of the new festival and longed for it. We did our work again, and I tried to do everything as I was asked to, and I no longer complained. But I still had those beautifully dressed people and their contented faces in front of my eyes. And so I wanted to do everything I could to get among them. I wanted to be just as content and happy. And so I wanted to fulfill my task. The new festival came quite soon, and it was like the previous time. We went together again, and there was a passage of these angels again. We had the feeling that this time there were a larger number of God's angels passing through this level, because the cheering of those standing there was correspondingly greater. But we, who were among the poor souls, stood at the back and enjoyed the cheering and singing. We were told that after the festival we should go back to our community house. I walked back alone, with some sadness in my soul, because I had hoped that one day it would be the same for me, that I too would be drawn into this stream of joy and harmony. So I returned home very slowly. Then I met a brother. He was lying on the ground and crying. I tried to help him and asked him why he was crying. He complained that he was tired and that he was saddened by not having seen anything. It was the first time he had been to this festival. He was simply saddened because the world he had now entered and in which he had to live was completely different from what he had imagined. He complained that he had no strength to get up and go back that way. And so I said, "You cannot stay here, they will come for you and you will have to go that way again. Come, get up and lean on me." He did so, and so we went together, arm in arm. But I was able to give him a few words of comfort. I explained to him how I had felt the first time and that it had not been so long since the last festival was celebrated. I was sad too, but we had been told, and he would also hear the same words, that we too would one day come into this stream, into this harmony, and the braver and more courageous he was, the faster he would prepare the way for it. So we came to our community house and devoted ourselves to our tasks again. This time it took a little longer until we were told that another festival in remembrance of Christ would take place. We were told that preparations still needed to be made. It was customary for higher spirit beings from heaven to come to our community house beforehand and, so to speak, take out those who they recognized as having worked so diligently and paid off some of their guilt. Then liberation would come for these people, and they would be liberated on this festival. Of course, deep down all of us helped to be liberated. Everyone thought, "Perhaps I will be liberated after all." There was definitely something in my life that the angel world would hold in high regard, so that perhaps I could get away from here after all. And so some people expected to be liberated. Now that moment came, and these angels came to us in the community house. They walked through the gardens and forests, checking on the work and taking care of what each individual had done. They were therefore interested in each individual. They went to him and gave him encouragement. They explained to one that it would take a little longer, while they gave the other hope that he would be released. "This is what happened to me. An angel came to me and explained that my time here was soon up. They were satisfied with my work and that I could now leave this house very soon and enter another sphere where I could then do other, more pleasant work and also go to school. Of course I was looking forward to it." Then the news came that we should get ready for the festival. But this time it was not like before, where we were just supposed to stand there and listen and be amazed at who was passing by without seeing anything. This time we were asked to enter a temple. One had been built, and we were allowed to enter it. Again brothers and sisters came from other directions, and again the most beautiful ones took the best places. But now it was the case that a high spirit stood in the middle of this temple and brought the greetings and blessings from God and Christ to everyone, all creatures. So everyone was happy about it. And now this angel asked his helpers to bring out those who were in the back rows, who were now to be raised up, so to speak, and allowed to enter a higher level, a higher sphere. So these helpers went to the back and looked for the people in question, for they recognized them and were now led to this high angel. This is what happened to me too. I too was taken by the hand and led to the middle of the temple.